Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is a faith and family edition. And today I am joined by my wife, Carrie. Hi, dear.
Hi, Tom.
Carrie, I am so excited to have you on. It's been almost a week since our family reunion. That is so exciting. So today that's what we're going to dive into. There's so many aspects to cover, so many warm memories. I have to admit, it was better than I thought it was going to be.
Is that a compliment?
I don't know. Is that kind of a backhanded compliment?
No, that makes me feel happy.
Yeah, it was. There were some surprises, and I'll see if you can guess what the surprises were for me. And there were some mishaps and some other really neat happenings as well. So lots to cover today, and we'll be back in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. All right, welcome back to the program. We're going to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name. I thank you and praise you for the gift of family and the way that you bring families together. Lord, I ask that you would stand with us in those places where we are troubled. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would bless those families who are experiencing crosses that were unanticipated, unlooked for, unexpected, and have led to a sense of failure or disappointment and ongoing struggle. Lord Jesus, please bless those moms and dads and grandparents and spouses who are walking the path of the cross in ways that sometimes become really difficult to bear.
Is this in relation to me specifically? Or are you just doing a general
Carrie,
prayer?
No, I'm praying. I'll tell you what.
Lord, I feel
Jesus,
like that
hold on. Hold
prayer
on, Jesus.
Was tailor-made for me.
Jesus, hold on. Jesus, sorry, Jesus.
I know, I Carrie interrupt was, Lord and Tom all the time, but
Carrie,
at least I was listening.
That's good. I'm glad you're listening. Thank you, Jesus. Listening. My heart was poured open to you. Thank you, Lord, and just provide encouragement and inspiration to all of those who are listening.
Amen.
That whatever their path is, Lord, that they would have a sense of clarity about living and walking their path, Jesus, in your holy name, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, do you want to know why I prayed the way I did? That was kind of a different prayer, wasn't it? Some of the language I used.
It was a great prayer. Why did you pray the way you prayed?
Well, I want to hear like what struck you about it, because you said it kind of landed on you.
Well, I think I shared previously just the having all the kids home and having to try to figure out life with all these people going in many different directions. 8 people needing a car. We have 4 cars. And then the multiple things that have happened this week that have just been above and beyond. So trials, burdens, struggling, and the crosses. I don't know. That's all. It's not that
I think that, and I said to you, now that I'm doing this, like devotion to the Holy Face and reading my new spiritual girlfriend, Sister Mary of St. Peter.
Did you like saying that?
Well, you've said that to me before. What
you're
did you
fine.
Call
you're fine. I'm just thinking it's funny you said that.
Well, yeah. Well,
yeah, spiritual crush.
It's my spiritual crush, my Sister Mary.
I felt like you were for a time having like a spiritual affair. What saint were you praying to?
It was when I would pray the rosary on Facebook.
Oh, that's right. You
well,
were
I was
with
doing
Mary
it twice a
for
day.
An hour and a half a day, 2 hours a day,
twice a day, and
that's right.
Yeah, and you felt like you're spending more time with the Blessed Mother than with me, all right?
Yeah, it's not a bad thing.
Well,
she's better.
Anywho, what Jesus said to her was that this devotion to the Holy Face was going to be a source of great graces of conversion pouring out upon the world, like miraculous conversions, and that the devil would like unleash the forces of hell to come against it. And so when I see all of these unexpected trials and crosses hit our lives, I do what you always kind of laugh at me for, just get spiritual and just say that it's demonic attacks, it's spiritual attacks. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it does feel just out of the,
out of the ordinary.
Yeah, the amount of attacks, the way in which I'm responding, my need for the Lord, my need to cry out to Him, all my complaining and and saying, Lord, why did you do this and why do you do that? So just that desperate sense of I'm really failing. I need the Lord. So.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I guess that's a good lining up point with the reason why I actually prayed the way I did was that I heard from a listener that she enjoys so much that we talk a lot about faith and family and weave it into, you know, these programs for 20 years. But she raised a question. She said, how often do you like reflect on the reality? She emphasized the negative impacts of divorce. And that there are many faithful wives whose husbands have left them and or have betrayed their vocation and have separated and divorced. And so they're the victim. And even if they've been able to navigate that path as an adult, the unforeseen impacts that have emerged in their kids' lives as their kids have gotten older, how do you help a parent? Like, her question was, did you ever think about like bringing on guests or talking about those themes of the crosses that are borne by single moms who are dealing with the downstream impacts of divorce in their kids' lives? And so that my prayer came from that, from the heart, that heart.
All right. So my crosses and my complaints are just kind of dumb, honestly. I was reading the gospel for a family Bible for this mass, this Sunday's mass. And it's the Israelites are complaining, Moses.
About the food, manna in the desert?
Yeah. And they're complaining, saying, I was just looking it up for a sec.
Yeah, why do you've given us such a terrible food? Whoa, we want our slavery back. We want the leeks and onions of Egypt.
And they're really complaining, and I thought, well, I thought that was interesting. They're complaining about food, but then I thought, because I was thinking of all the things I complain about to the Lord. Why is this child this way? Why are you giving me these burdens of this? This cross and the ways in which I see things that get me entangled, or why is there, you know, physicality, like the house, the flood we had at the house. And then I thought, well, actually, if you were starving, that would be a much worse cross. We're just very comfortable in our home and in our life that these crosses that I've just talked to you about seem just relevant to me, but they actually seem pretty ridiculous when you talk about a mother raising her kids on her own, or an extreme mental illness, or there's just so many more crosses. And just so addictions. Then I'm just saying, Lord, my complaints are so dumb. I'm just so, I don't know, I just feel like pathetic in some ways about how I go to the Lord and complain about what I'm complaining about. And it's, I really actually need a good slap. Like a cross, not from you, but a good spiritual slap. Yeah, like wake up. Why are you so self-focused?
It's Sister Mary. She's getting to you.
Who's this? Oh, the one you're interceding
yes.
to or whatever. Okay. Anyhow.
That's very humble. Honestly, it's a very humble thing to admit to. It's about time. It's very humble to admit to that. Honestly, to be able to have that degree of self-awareness and then to be able to say, I'm going to own that and take action on it. That's not an easy thing to do. I feel like these different challenges that we have, they not only, they expose things that otherwise would remain hidden.
Yes.
And isn't that the gift?
Yes. It's hard to see it as a gift when you're in the midst of it or when the Lord is not. So I went to Mass the other night with all of you and the family, and it was so good. It's something I've kind of avoided. And when I was reading through the Magnificat and just praying the Mass, the Lord was able to just really gently show me my own selfishness and my own lack in the ways in which I could not, I really was kind of caught up in the futility of my mind. That's one of the scriptures for Sunday's reading. And seeing things in my own perspective, that was so sad. It made me sad that that's how I was seeing my life, or that's how I was seeing my burdens, or that's how I was seeing my own. And I felt so bound up by it all. But once the Holy Spirit was able to show me some of these scriptures and meditate and start to see what the Lord was really trying to teach me, it was so freeing and beautiful, and the truth of who we are and the truth of who He is, and how we can just rise above our own human limitations, and the Lord can just pour grace and freedom into our bound up ways of seeing that really limit. I mean, there are times where I see you in a certain light and it's like, this is so limiting. This is just not who Tom is. Why am I internally struggling or fighting? Or because I think spouses do this, and then you're able to.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. Then you're able to come through it or take time, or especially when God can just break through and transform. And it's like, okay, this is actually who this person is. And I don't want to forget this. But that's why we need to go to Him in prayer every day, is to have the right mindset about how God sees and what His call is in our life. I don't want to sound preachy at all, but I had
a converting moment during one of our walks. So I'm taking these long walks as preparation for the Camino. And I've been sharing on the radio how it's like, oh, the Lord used my need to train and take long walks to actually break into my life and give me more extensive prayer times, and how transformative that is. And it's like, wow, God used one thing to get to another. And it was a couple of days ago, I wasn't able to walk a long time in the morning. And so you said, oh, no, I got up later. That's what it was. And you said, oh, let's go together. Was that right? We walked together in the morning?
Well,
or was it in the middle?
There
were
a couple of times. I don't know which
one. Well,
one
of the times
about.
We were walking together.
Okay.
We were talking about stuff, and you started to interact with me in some of those limiting ways that you talked about. Where I don't know if you saw my limits or whatever, and I just shut up. I just went quiet.
Why are we talking about this on the radio?
Well, because it was converting me. No, listen, this was a conversion for me. But you had to kind of you were the setter. You were the volleyball setter. You set it, right? You set it through your limits and brokenness. It was a set. Now I was going to come in and spike it with my negative response, and I was up in the air, and my spiritual negative swing was about to hit.
Did you miss?
And I just paused. It was like I was frozen in midair. And, there's a story about St. Vincent Ferrer. He was forbidden by his superior to heal and perform any more miracles. And this guy fell off a roof while he was walking by. And he prayed that the guy would be frozen in midair, so he could go back to his superior and get permission to prevent him from hitting the ground.
Is this like superhero saints? Sounds like
that's superpower.
Avengers or something.
It's a real story.
It is not.
It is. I didn't make that up. Maybe it's hagiography, right, where they kind of made that story up. But if you're that construction worker hanging in midair, man, you're praying to Jesus. Please,
that
Lord.
In and of itself would be a miracle. Like, that would be a wonder for everyone.
Yeah,
to
he was disobedient because he converted. Actually Yeah. All right. So I'm in spiritual midair, and inside of me, Carrie, as we're walking together in silence, we walked quite a while in silence, and I am like, I wanted to tip over into the negative and kind of come at you negatively, or take my ball and go home negative. And part of me just said, oh, all right, this is the journey we're on. This is the journey we're on. And I realized I needed to repent of that. And I needed to start praying for you.
Did you repent yet? I don't think you did.
Myself. It was towards me. Like, it wasn't. Pray. I didn't do it. I didn't. See?
So I was going to lie repentance. I don't know.
Oh, no. It was so good. So then I just started to pray for you. And I just said, I'm going to let it go. Surrender.
That's interesting. I started to pray for you.
Did you really?
Yeah, that you'd have conversion. It was... It seemed from my perspective.
Well, your prayers worked, dear.
I guess
victory.
See, then the Lord had to show me how I'm self-serving.
Well, it was very beautiful. It worked.
Well, what I really actually enjoy is I'm pleasantly surprised by the power of prayer in the morning walking. I don't think I'd have that experience sitting here on a couch in the living room with our coffee. It's really something. One, just being up that early. And two, walking in the cool of the morning, there's something very wondrous and enlivening. It's just powerful. And maybe it's just also God's grace, but I just really appreciate praying. We do spontaneous prayer, then we pray a rosary, and then what else do we end up doing?
Singing, walk quietly, worshiping,
and thinking. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just whatever we feel led to do at that time. And it's just been very good. And not all the time that we pray together is powerful. It's just been consistently feeding my soul.
That's beautiful. I today when I was walking by myself, it was a lot hotter. It was late in the day. I was just like, I need to write a talk on the theology of walking or the spirituality of walking. I've never heard a talk on that. I've never heard anybody reflect on expressing prayer, like you hear, you know, adoration and praise and worship and sitting quietly and all of that other stuff. But the idea of praying while you're walking and how does that play itself out? But anyways, hey, we're up against a break. Back in a minute with more of the program. Welcome back to the program. So, all right, Carrie, well, all of that from that opening prayer. That's so beautiful. I love that. I love how God just takes a theme and just says, I'm going to present this. I want to plant this out there that's going to be a blessing to someone. So, by the way, on Tuesday, Father Lawrence Kearney is going to be back on the program. He's the priest who is really heading up this devotion to the Holy Face.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
So, what kind of interview will it be, or what kind of conversation?
Well, what happened was I reached out to him when I was when I had discerned and decided to make this trip to the Camino, and then realized that there were all these connecting points to the home base for the devotion to the Holy Face, which is in Tours, he says Tours, France, T-O-U-R-S, Tours, France. And that's where the tombs are. And so I'd reached out to him and said, hey, where do you go? What a place have to visit? And all. And I mentioned all these different dates that line up with the devotion. And and so we talked on the phone, and he started to talk. He had some powerful things to say. I never shared them with you.
Oh, no. Hold that thought, Father. I just need you to hold those thoughts. So
let's talk about this on the radio.
Have you back on.
And I'll cut it short, and he'll talk about it on Tuesday. It's that he has this insight. It's drawn from the devotion that God will raise up an army of promoters of the devotion to the Holy Face. And it's not just about like a marketing team. It's living witnesses who testify to the power of seeking his face and making works of reparation. That's what this devotion is all about. And he basically raising up an army of those who will be doing acts of reparation towards blasphemy, profaning the Lord's day, and idolatry. And that God is going to shower great graces through this army that he raises up. And you don't know how, you'll be called into it. And it was, oh, this is such a really clear sign that the Lord, he's lined all this up. He's lined up your whole life for the sake of getting you ready for this moment. And it was powerful when he just, boom, he named it. And so I'm like, well, let's talk, because he's coming to St. Joan of Arc Parish and the cathedral in September.
Yes.
I'm going to be gone. And you'll be on the, I'm going to be on the Camino.
I'll be here.
You'll be.
I'll be here. I'll be single for the
Lord. Honey, you'll be doing your own sort of Camino. You'll be you'll be doing a Camino
at
home.
It's great, Tom. I'm really excited for you.
Yeah.
It's amazing just to see how God's inspiring you. I'm trying to keep up with you.
Well, anywho, so tune in on Tuesday. He'll be on. We might actually live stream it on Monday on Facebook and YouTube.
Cool.
So we're starting to implement more of that again, which is cool. That's another fulfillment of things. So, all right, Carrie, I mentioned at the very beginning of the program that this program was intended to be a chance for us to talk about and sort of revel in the goodness of God in the family reunion that happened. You haven't been on in a while because, in part, you've been not only focused on handling a household of all 9 of our kids back home again, but also getting ready for the high stress activity of organizing and getting everything prepared and planned. That was like your Camino.
Well, the good thing is I enjoy doing it, so I can get kind of caught up in it. But yes, it was a lot of work and a lot of time coming up with a theme and just trying to figure out how to coordinate all the different families and all the different groups and all the different activities over the course of 4 days and keep people engaged and keep it fresh and bring spirituality into it. It's a lot to navigate that big a group. Right now we are...
And let's just say, let's make it really clear. The idea of a family reunion for some people, it's, oh, let's all go get rooms in this lodge or hotel and then just hang out together. That's not what happened over the Thursday through Sunday, Thursday afternoon to Sunday morning. It was 2 full days, 2 parted days of you organizing a theme-filled extravaganza of morning to night, wake up to bedtime, schedule of activities that stretched across. You've got 11 brothers and sisters. They all weren't there. It was really for the sake of your mom. Plus all of not just your siblings, but their spouses and then kids and their kids. I don't know how many
grandkids and great grandkids. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we had 45 come. There's over 100 in my mom's family, my mom and dad, including all the grandkids, great grandkids and in-laws. About half of us were there. Mostly all of my siblings, but 3 or 2. Yeah. So that was really neat, just to spend time with them, although I was kind of busy. I don't know. What do you want to know?
Well, you were the cruise director. And so...
I'm so glad it's done.
No, I mean, you organized... Like, the theme was... Tell folks about the theme.
Oh, and, sure.
Like, why was that important to you that we had a theme that would draw through all the days?
You know, I think it helps me organize and anchor... What is our purpose? What is our mission? Why are we here? So 2 years ago, it was the World Cup. And that really tied into all the families that come from different heritages. And we love soccer. And that was part of the activities. We played soccer one day, a little tournament. It wasn't that much. But this year, we really are praying and thinking. And the kids came up with, let's do, what about cheaper by the dozen? Because we have 12. And I really tried to pray that through. And it did not click. And there wasn't a lot of stuff that went with it, like online. And I was looking at t-shirts because we've never done a family t-shirt. And I found this incredible company in Michigan. And I sent them the ferry boat. I sent them the island. I sent them our theme. And we designed these just really cool shirts. And they're all different colors for different teams. But when I was looking up t-shirts, there was one that said Survivor. So there's a whole like 45 seasons or 47 seasons of the show called Survivor, where there's about 40 people or 30 people that go on an island, and it's who's left at the very end. They get like $1 million. And throughout the 40 days they're there, they are very diminished in what they're able to eat. And then they have these competitions, and they're like memory games and puzzles that you have to solve, and team, you kind of try to team up with different people to make, I forget the word. Anyhow.
Alliance.
Alliances. Thanks, Tom. Not that we got into those details, but it was all about how do you survive. And so that just really drew me to surviving in a home, growing up with all these siblings and my mom and dad. My dad had a fine job, but to provide for 12 children is never easy. And he retired, I think, when he was 52. I was in third grade, and my dad had to stop working. So we really did have to be very frugal, I guess. But my parents were great at not emphasizing what we didn't have. It was just, we enjoyed family time. But there was a sense of, when you look back, like, wow, we really survived a lot. Not in a bad way. That was not my experience. Anyhow, so Survivor was not just about the game. It was also about just growing up and how do you, I think there's a lot of things that people have survived in the last few years and try to get through stuff. So we kind of tied that in. I don't know where I'm going with all of this. Just to say that we had multiple teams and it was Survivor themed, and we did multiple different kinds of competitions, obstacle courses, challenges, scavenger hunt, of course, Fear Factor, of course. And it was just a ton of fun. And I was so blessed to coordinate and put that together. I don't know. I just really love doing it.
So one of the gifts that came from that would have not ordinarily happened was being on a team meant that I was going to be interacting with, like some of my cousins that I would not have normally spent a lot of time with.
Well, part of the special part of going away is, and being on teams, is you really do not just hang out with the eight cousins that you hang out with, or the three cousins.
At your own age.
And so you really are forced to be in conversations or in interactions and team competitions or whatnot. And like you just said, it really is fantastic to break these family dynamics down and then rebuild them, because we separate all the currents and we separate all the aunts and uncles, and no family is on the same team except our family, because we have so many. And we do activities that specifically relate to building team camaraderie and fellowship and fun. They all had to make like team banners and come up with these fantastic team chants. And in the team chant, you had to include a saint, a holiday, the name of an aunt or uncle, and an animal sound. And so it allowed the kids and the teams to be creative, and they had to be choreographed, or you have a dance of some sort. But it just let different people shine and different people step forward, and you have to get up in front of everyone. So what we typically would happen in family gatherings, you're not going to see all of this fun stuff. And it just makes for the best memories. It makes for the best family. I wouldn't say the best. It's one of the neatest, though, family draws or unifiers, to just be silly and have fun over the course of all these days. And then, of course, we are keeping track, where points are being given out for different events and different activities. And just so you know, also, the afternoon is free. Like, we just do lake time. People can swim or nap or whatever. So there's like 5 hours or 4 hours in the afternoon where you do whatever you want. So it's not like jam-packed.
Right. Well, and
we didn't start till 10 in the morning. So let everyone have coffee and lakeside time and go for a walk. Tom and I did our prayer walk in the morning. But I don't know if I posted, I think I talked about this a couple years ago when we did it. But I think I'll post the schedule. It's just, it's super fun. It's a ton of work, but it's so worth it. It's like, if I just feel like in me and my personality, I want to do something, you know, don't do it unless you're going to do it with excellence. There was just no way I could do half measures with this. It had to be like all or nothing, which meant that we didn't have a few dinners. I was like, I don't know what's for dinner. Have some Cheerios. I'm working on our banner. I'm working on the games. I'm trying to figure out what to order online and anyhow.
Well, and if folks are thinking, okay, hey, how do we imitate some of that? It really does take a point person to do a lot of heavy lifting, but it also takes a lot of helpers. You needed a bunch of minions around here to help you with practical tasks.
Yes, they did all the posters and painting and some of the obstacle course pieces.
But then you also elicited the support of your siblings, like who's going to handle this meal, the making of the meal,
yes,
the cleanup of the meals, yeah, the who's going to handle this activity at night and this other activity. So I think that's so important, because otherwise they can just show up, and if they're not invested in the success, then they're just being dragged along, and then they can easily be disconnected or have a bad attitude.
It's really great when you can have, and I think I've said this before, someone in charge of all the meals. That doesn't mean they cook all the meals, but they just coordinate where is the meal going to happen and who's preparing it and what is it. You have someone in charge of communication. You can have someone in charge of evening activities, which is something I passed on to my brother, or someone in charge of spiritual time and prayer. Can we start with a prayer time, or can we end the night with a rosary or some kind of faith gathering or faith sharing? There's several different roles. Those, of course, aren't limited to that.
I think one of the other things that happened that was important was that you were very intentional about choosing games that had different skills that would be required, which meant that, it's not going to be the athletic kid from every team that is going to be the superstar.
Yeah, and I think when watching a couple of the Survivor episodes, they do incorporate like memory games, puzzle-solving games, how do you strategically undo something or figure out, every team has a competition, but they're going to figure it out a different way. So it's strategy. The three words that go with Survivor are outwit, outplay, and outlast. And then we use those, but we also change it to out. Did you pause?
No, go ahead.
Oh, outpray, outlaugh, and
outpray, outlaugh. Outserve. That's a good one.
It went outserve, outpray, outlaugh. Just as kind of words that suit our family and my mom. She's a great servant. She prays all the time and is wonderful to pray with. And she's always laughing. She has a great spirit of hilarity. Not always laughing, but she always has like a little twinkle in her eye. And
yeah, she has that little wry Irish smile.
So we just made it our own. I mean, that's what's so fun is you're creating a weekend. You're creating these moments and these events and these competitions to help all the kids, kind of gather around. And now that we've done it I think this is our fourth time doing it, the kids are all super psyched and excited and are getting into it. And then this year we brought on a whole nother family that joined us and some of the great grandkids and the kids that hadn't been there before. He's my second oldest brother. And that was such a blessing to have them. They have a great faith. Their family's full of faith. And they were so touched and just so amazed and in awe of, like, why didn't we ever come before? I was like, you're always invited. And we always do invite everyone. But, you don't really know what you're not going to, because this is an older brother, older cousins. Yeah. But they loved it. It was super fun to have them.
Did you have a favorite
activity?
Favorite activity, favorite memory from the weekend. Like, was there any event that surprised you in a positive way? Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think the Guessify, where we take a Spotify song and you give a list to our daughter and you have to guess whose song is who. It sounds...
That was our opening night activity.
Opening night, yeah. It sounds really simple. But for some reason, I think the huge speakers you brought, that, and then we had a microphone so people could hear everyone. and the way in which Ariana organized it, the music was so fun, and the sharing was really goofy but also serious. And that activity went the best it's ever gone, in my opinion. But it wasn't my favorite part of the weekend.
Okay. Well, I want to hear about the favorite part of the weekend after the break. We're up against a break. We'll be back in a minute to continue our sharing. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Okay, back to Sound Insight. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. I'm with my lovely wife, Carrie, and we're reviewing, kind of debriefing a bit of the DiLorenzo Family Retreat. That was your maiden name.
Family Reunion, Survivor 2024.
Family Reunion, that's right.
The neat thing about Survivor, it's usually on an island, typically like a tropical place.
Oh, I never even thought of that. We were on an island.
Yeah, and we're on an island, and it's a ferry. The shirts that we made turned out, like I said, so cool. I loved them. And everyone had bandanas to match.
So what was your favorite part?
I liked the obstacle course that we did the second day. Were you there when we did the circles? Oh no, because our car broke down.
I'm gonna tell that story in a minute. Tragedy. Yeah.
That was a really fun game because just the way in which it involved the whole team, they had to figure out a good strategy, and it was so neck and neck, close, but it didn't end quickly. That was really fun activity. And I think I really enjoyed, the team cheers were funny, as I'll get out. But the typhoon trivia, where we'd ask different trivia questions. And if you got it, and then you had to you got help. But if you got it wrong, this huge bucket of water got one step closer to being dumped on the team, whoever was in the hot spot. And because the trivia questions were all about mom and family. And then we had to go into more real trivia because everyone was getting the answers correct. But it was just the anticipation of having the water dumped on somebody. And everyone was very engaged in that. I think the games that are really fun is when everyone as a team is a part of it and they feel a part of it.
Yeah.
Those are successes.
Nice.
What about you?
For me, the favorite part,
you weren't there for the scavenger hunt.
I missed the scavenger hunt, and I missed the big chunky items.
You did the Fear Factor. That was okay. I think I'll.
I think I liked just the activities on Saturday morning, just that whole flow of activities.
Oh, okay.
That included the memory game, like the making of the puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was cool.
And then scramble.
And then we did
water balloon.
Yeah, water balloon toss, and then they hit the golf ball into the ring. And I just liked that flow because it involved, again, different kids got to shine, and different people, not just kids and adults.
Yeah.
And little kids, had as much as an advantage of the adult, right? So that was really cool. I would say one of the more poignant moments was the breakdown. So Saturday morning, we're waiting for the girls to show up, and all of a sudden we get a call and they say the car won't go into reverse. The transmission is it's not going into gear.
Basically shot.
And I'm like, are you kidding? I'm on an island. It's Saturday morning. This is a car that has to take us back across the state. It's a 2009 Suburban. This is not good. And I am not a mechanic. So I started calling, transmission shops in Tacoma, Steilacoom. And I first even started back in Spokane. And then eventually turn to my favorite source of all car fixes, YouTube, and saw the problem imitated on this video. And he's like, here's the fix. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's it? We might be able to do this. And so, sure enough, I had a nephew there who knew a little bit about fixing cars. And so he crawled under and was like, yeah, that's it. So I had ordered the part. I had to jump on the ferry, go get the part, come back. And then with his help, him and another nephew, underneath the car for an hour plus, trying to get this thing put together, they were able to crack the nut and get it done. And
that was so cool.
It was so cool.
I was just really proud of them.
Well, I was proud of them too. And it was like, I was ready to climb under there and do it, but it was like they were hungering to do something, almost to get acknowledged. And I don't know, almost wanted the approval, like the hand of blessing from an uncle. And so I stepped back and let them at it and encouraged them and said, let's, and then we had to go knock on the door of a neighbor because we needed a tool. And so thank God the neighbor's son was there and he had a couple of them, which was exactly what we needed. We needed two of them, which was, I mean,
I did not hear about that.
What are the odds?
Was was that across the street from the rental house?
Yeah, from the rental.
Oh, okay.
I was like, well, let's go drive around and start talking to neighbors. And if we need to, I'm going to get back on the next ferry. And the neighbor just below us had a truck in the driveway. So I went up, knocked on the door, explained, and here's what we need. And they got it.
Nice.
So then I said, let's take it for a test drive. And I said to them, why don't you guys drive it to the house? And I drove in the back way and got a bunch of people lined up and they came in, honked the horn, and here's the car, it's working. And that was very meaningful, right? It was sort of went from death to resurrection for the car. And it works again. So praise be to God for that.
Yes, that was great. One of the endearing parts of it is we have, I would say, about 16 teenagers between the ages of 16 to 21. 17 to 21, maybe. Equal girls and boys, maybe a couple more girls. And at night, after you and I are in bed around 9:30, 10, I was so tired, they would all go out, must have been 11 o'clock, and they would go around the island and find different, abandon this, or they go down to the water and shoot off fireworks, or they would go down to some state park and play hide and seek. But they would end up coming back at 1:30 in the morning, late. But they just had a blast and really enjoyed all the adventures. And I wouldn't say getting in trouble, but more.
You know, the one of the houses they went to, there was a squatter.
Yes.
You heard that?
Yeah, I heard the whole story.
Yeah, okay.
They were so freaked out.
Yeah.
It was just adventurous and making memories with each other and all of them anticipating or wondering, like, what will it be like in 5 years when we all come with a spouse or we come with the one we're going to marry? The beautiful thing is just seeing the closeness of the cousins. Even though we don't live in Seattle area, they stay in touch through social media apps like Instagram, and which is beautiful to see how social media can connect families. And just, they really enjoy each other. It's just been a blessing for us to see that those relationships get strengthened over the years. And, you know, they're all now kind of through their high school years and on to college. We had a graduation party on the island with 5 kids that graduated from something. And honored them, affirmed them. So that was a really special time to just share memories of these different kids. So yeah, just a lot of storytelling and laughter and enjoyment, I would say.
One last thing I'll say about that is that being away for that amount of time, there's less of a sense of, you know, that you've only got a limited like snippet of time. And so you've got to kind of rush or jam in whatever conversation you have. And that's like a typical family visit. Oh, we're here to celebrate, you know, Thanksgiving or some holiday. You only are basically skimming the surface and touching, and then you move on. This was more than that, because, you know, maybe you did the skimming conversation when you first got there. But then all of a sudden you find yourself next to them, and it's Saturday afternoon, and you've got 4 hours, and you're just hanging out. And so I had, with one of my brother-in-laws, I don't know, two or three extended conversations that I would not have had, because that event gave the space for it to happen. So that was really beautiful. Carrie, when we come back, I want to ask one last question about that. And that is, if you had to do it over again, what would you do differently? Or did you feel like anything was missing from the weekend? Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. So, Carrie, talking about your family reunion, Thursday afternoon to Sunday late morning. I got to say this, Sunday late morning. Well, I guess we'll end with that. Even God's providence was kind of involved in the ferry. Well, I won't end with that. Let's talk about that. What happened on the ferry ride out that morning?
I almost got onto the ferry. Tom was behind me with like four other cars of cousins and aunts and uncles. And they didn't let me on, so I was the first one on. And we all got to just wait about an hour and 10 minutes, which was actually really nice. We all just walked around, picked blackberries, shared stories. It was my brother's birthday, so we did some photo fun singing, sing-alongs. So it was really neat. And then we were able to all go to Mass together versus being broken up or separated.
Yeah. And just even being on the ferry together too.
It was really fun.
Right. And that only happened because of literally the exact minute we got there. If you had gotten there like five seconds earlier.
The car was right in front of us.
Oh, really?
It had come right in front of me.
So
maybe 10 seconds. I don't know.
Yeah. So if you and I had left a minute earlier, we would have made it on the ferry and the rest of the cousins wouldn't have.
Yeah.
So
it was nice.
Even there was sort of a gift to that. There's a gift to the timing of things. And you don't always see that. Like the fact that we were all timing the cleaning of our houses and packing of stuff and getting things going, and the others were too. And we all thought, oh, let's all get down to that ferry at a certain time. And we literally all just missed it by a minute or two. Mm-hmm. That there's something kind of, I don't know, I see the hand of God, God's kind of God's providence in that. It opened a neat door. All right. So anything that you were disappointed in, and then let's talk about what you do differently if you had to do it over again.
I don't recall anything I'm really disappointed in. I would have loved if my mom could have been there the whole time. Her age and her health is such that she can just do a few hours. And I was just so thrilled that she was able to make it on the ferry and come be with us for part of a day. But I really would have loved to have had her there more. But it's just hard. I think that's all. Maybe the food menu, like a couple of people did, there were a couple of people that did all the food. And I think it would have been nice to have that broken up a little bit more. And then have the, like last 2 years ago, it was more thematic. It was like a Mexican dinner and then a German dinner and then an Italian dinner. It was all the different countries that our family represent. And that, I love those themed dinners. But the food was great. It's just, I think I'd like to tie the food and then like maybe a drink, like someone who makes like the mocktails or cocktails at 5 o'clock. Like there's a special drink we're having different nights, would have been fun. So just really small things, I think.
Do you have a hope, like as these evolve, that there would be I wonder, gosh, wouldn't it be great for the kids to be able to get up? The kids, these are all now adults, right? 18, if you call 18 adult, these young adults. Like, let's talk about faith.
I would like to
testimony.
Had better, yeah. Well, so we had testimonies planned, but didn't get to it. Well, the first night got cut short, remember? So funny. Well, it's because we had a really loud sound system and that carried across the whole lake. I would love meaningful conversations that are kind of need to be facilitated. They don't just happen typically. It's neat when you're in the moment and then you have like eight people gathered around. You're talking about something that has meaningful moments of just. And I noticed, I think I shared this before, I got a lot of my kind of bigger general themes from a Mormon person I follow. And their parents, I think he graduated from Harvard Business School, and he would print up like kinds of articles or faith things, and the family would sit around at night, the adults, and talk about those things. And that was in their family culture. That's not in my family culture. But it'd be really neat to have more meaningful testimonies or conversations. Although I felt like there were a lot of really good conversations. It was just it was very spontaneous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Right. I mean, I'm hearing little dribs and drabs from my kids about, oh, they were talking with this uncle or that aunt about, you know, spiritual things, about God or about faith or about mission and purpose. And I had little bits of chances to do that. I mean, I got disrupted a couple of times in terms of like helping or having to handle situations.
Well, so. You were like my second in command.
I was your best helper.
I'm like, Tom, do this. Tom, can you help me? Tom, can you go get that? Mm-hmm.
What did I miss on the first day? I had to go do something.
You went and got the seltzer waters.
Oh,
and
that's
the
right.
Chairs. And we were trying to put together the that huge obstacle race. I can't remember what you missed. It was one activity. I don't
right.
remember.
I think I got back in the I had missed the cheer being part of my
that's
cheer.
That's right. All the cheer yeah.
That's okay.
Team cheers.
Yeah. So, are you going to put together a video or a book for this one?
Yes, Ariana's doing a video. My niece Michaela's going to do a slideshow. I think maybe when all the kids go back to school in September, I'll think about doing a book. We do have a lot of footage, so it wouldn't be a hard thing to do. It's just really neat. When you put the thing about when your kids make you a video or you make those photo books and you put down, here's this, like the lyrics to the songs, or here's who won what event, or here are the songs we chose for the Spotify Guessify Night. Or, I forget a lot of the details that made it rich or made it, like the continuity and kind of the thematic parts of it, and you have those forever. Or like our grandkids will look at it, or our great grandkids will be looking at these books. So even though it takes a few hours to put together, like 40, it's so worth it. The investment of or a video, you have it forever on YouTube or wherever. They're so invaluable, in my opinion, like priceless. Those are real priceless things to have. So yes, we'll do that. We will. We won't do a reunion for a couple of years, though, like at least two or three. And I would love more family to step up and help and be a part of it. But it's, you know, sometimes it's just fun to create it.
Yeah, you can keep praying for that.
It seems funny that 1 year somewhere in the future, our kids are going to be, most of them will be married and we'll have, I don't know, 20 grandkids or whatever. It's going to be like 40 of us. So we went on this reunion, there's 40 people there, but 20 years from now, it's going to be us and just our kids and grandkids.
They'll be wheeling you in, Carrie, to watch and smile.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'll be happily wheeled in in a wheelchair. Anyhow, I was just praise God. I thanked him. I do thank him. I felt so blessed. I loved putting time and effort into that. It's just a fantastic way to build family unity. One disappointment. I would love probably 10 more people to come, like 10 new people, if it all made sense. We have a funny situation in our family where our Mary Grace on down is like connected to five families. And then there's a gap. And then it's like Bethany or Claire's with Mary Grace. But Bethany on up is a different group of cousins. So we have like two cousin groups. And right now the upper cousin groups are all getting married or have been married and they're having kids. So they kind of do their thing, even though they're very connected to their families. And we've, because I was, our daughter's Mary Grace, and I'm always the one putting together the reunions, it's always been focused on that age group. Mm-hmm. And it would be neat to somehow pull the older kids down into our group. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, it's hard because they're in that whole transition towards their own family reunion, right?
Yes.
So, well, I hope and pray that this has been an encouragement for folks, that you would think about ways to incorporate some of the elements that you heard. All right, God bless you, and have a great weekend.